From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The leaders of the U.S. and Israel are pledging unwavering support for each other after their latest meeting at the White House today. President Obama and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu deny relations have been strained in recent months. We have the latest from NPR's Ari Shapiro.
White House officials have described this as a fence-mending visit. Netanyahu canceled his last trip to Washington after Israeli commandos killed 9 people on an aid boat headed for Gaza. Before that, Netanyahu had a low-profile White House visit without reporters or photographers. That was just after a diplomatic disaster when the Israeli government announced new housing in East Jerusalem while Vice President Biden was in Israel. Sitting next to Netanyahu in the Oval Office, President Obama said the bond between the U.S. and Israel is unbreakable.
Our relationship is continuing to improve, and I think a lot of that has to do with the excellent work that the Prime Minister has done, so I'm grateful and welcome once again to the White House.
They discussed peace talks with Palestinians, the humanitarian situation in Gaza, and sanctions against Iran. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, The White House.
The Justice Department is suing Arizona over a law it says gives the state too much power to oversee immigration. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports the administration is challenging the law's constitutionality.
Federal officials say Arizona is crossing the line and interfering with their authority to set immigration policy. They worry that states will develop a patchwork of conflicting rules about immigration and that the Arizona law will focus police attention on small fry instead of dangerous people who smuggle drugs or belong to gangs. The Arizona law is set to take effect later this month. It requires police to question people if officers have a reasonable suspicion they're illegal immigrants. Civil rights groups fear the law will promote racial profiling, but police are training to avoid those pitfalls. Arizona's Republican Governor Jan Brewer is preparing to fight the federal case. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
At least one death in Philadelphia is blamed on a rare heat wave taking hold of cities across the East Coast this week. Some areas are seeing temperatures soar past 100 degrees. While New Yorkers try to get through the sweltering heat, they got a rare visit from Queen Elizabeth II today. She addressed the United Nations, declaring her support for the international body and its work toward world peace.
It is my hope that when judged by future generations, our sincerity, our willingness to take a lead, and our determination to do the right thing will stand the test of time.
Meanwhile, the security of UN staff continues to be tested in dangerous circumstances. In Colombo, Sri Lanka, hundreds of protesters went after the UN compound, trapping workers inside. They want the UN to cancel its investigation of alleged abuses committed during Sri Lanka's civil war. This is NPR. Findings from U.S. studies show about 1 in 5 teenagers has engaged in some form of cyberbullying. Now research in the Archives of General Psychiatry reports teenage cyberbullies and their victims may suffer physical and mental health problems. More on this from NPR's Patty Naiman.
Unique and worrisome aspects of cyberbullying include anonymity, a large audience, and victims who are accessible 24/7 and for the most part can't easily defend themselves. In the study, researchers from Finland analyzed questionnaires from more than 2,400 Finnish teens between 13 and 16. They found both bullies and victims reported emotional troubles, difficulties concentrating in school, and problems getting along with others. There were also physical problems like recurrent headaches, abdominal pain, and sleeping difficulties. Some cyberbullies reported hyperactivity and behaviors like smoking or getting drunk. Researchers say the impact of cyberbullying can be traumatic and that effective anti-bullying interventions are critical to make cyberspace a safer place. Patty Naiman, NPR News.
About 130 countries are endorsing guidelines for limiting melamine contamination further in food and infant formula. The chemical, which is used to make plastics, fertilizers, and concrete, was blamed in several deaths and tens of thousands of illnesses in China in recent years. The World Health Organization says the group agreed to the change during a gathering in Geneva today. However, the limits are not legally binding. Last check on Wall Street. Dow is up 57 points at 9,743. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.